John chapter 5, the message today is Jesus, the abolisher of death. I want to read you several scriptures, and the first one in John chapter 5, verse 21. For as the Father raiseth the dead and giveth them life, even so the Son also giveth life to whom he will. For neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Now chapter 10. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Verse 17. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment received I from my Father. Luke 23. One of the malefactors with whom our Savior was crucified railed on him. Verse 40. But the other answered and rebuking him said, Dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto our Lord Jesus, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And now 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal, but hath now been manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the candlesticks one like unto a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about it the breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto burnished brass, as if it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks for every scripture that we have read. And we give you thanks also for the myriad number of scriptures that were not read, that would have corroborated, that would have told us again, that would have joined themselves as witness to this one whom we have come to speak about this morning. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the Lord. We thank you for the lips of children who quoted verses telling us of him and of the scriptures that he honored throughout his life when he was on earth. We thank you, Father, that the scriptures that they spoke are the ones that we, as old men and women, have treasured from our youth and have found no reason to reject them to this day. We thank you for the testimony of the Word of God through the Son of God, and we desire to learn the truth about him this morning. So look upon us in a special way, our Father, and empower him that speaks, and prepare the hearts of all those that are listening. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is the day that we talk about the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day also that we think of that life and death in a special way. And I trust that by God's grace, that you shall not only think about his life and death, but you shall think about your life and death in relation to his now that he has been raised from the dead. The one of whom I read, and I read only a few scriptures, is one that is indescribable in his grandeur. The one of whom we read, whose death and whose life we speak of this morning, is described in this threefold way, among others, especially pertinent to thinking about him as the abolisher of death. It says this in John chapter 1, in him was life. It says in John chapter 5, as the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He is the only one who has ever been upon the earth who has life in himself. He is described in Acts chapter 3 as the Prince of Life. And that same word is translated elsewhere, the Author of Life. It says in John chapter 1, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life. And I read to you in Revelation chapter 1 that John, and this is what is so startling, the one who was the most intimate with Christ, who at that Last Supper lay his head upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had seen him on the Mount of Transfiguration, one of the three that saw him in glory. When he saw him in the midst of the candlesticks, as I read to you from Revelation chapter 1, it said this one fell at his feet as one dead. The sight of the Lord Jesus, the one that he had been with for 3 years, was of such magnitude that he was paralyzed. He fell at his feet as one dead. And this is the beginning of the answer of the prayer of our Savior in John chapter 17. He says, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. And then he says later, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And now, before John is with him where he is, he beholds his glory. And when he sees him, he falls at his feet as one dead. You're not able to grasp the force of the words and the way that Christ describes himself in Revelation 1, if you read it in the King James. But this is what it says. He says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one." If you're familiar with the Old Testament description of God, you find over and over and over again that God describes himself as, "I am the living God." And the Lord Jesus presumes to assume this title here, if he is merely a man, or he simply speaks in simplicity the truth of who he is in Revelation 1, which is the truth of the matter. If God can say, "I am the living God," the Lord Jesus Christ can say, "I am the living Son." And he does this without any detriment, without any denigration of the glory of God. Because I read to you in John chapter 5, "As the Father hath life in himself, he has given to the Son also to have life in himself, that all men may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." And the Father has said, "You may have life in yourself." This is a bestowal, I take it, when Christ entered into the world. What man could he trust life with other than his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you not realize that his first creatures could not be trusted with life? They were in the garden where was the tree of life, and God drove them out of the garden lest they eat of that tree of life and live forever. And yet, the Lord Jesus says, "The Father hath imparted to me to have life in myself, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." And so Jesus Christ is the one who has life in himself. He is the living one. And it says he's the Prince of Life, and he is the Lord of Life. He's the author of life. And now, the most incongruous statement in the entire Word of God, I read to you from Revelation chapter 1. This is what it says. He said, "I am the living one. I am the living Son of God." And he said, "I was dead." How could such a thing be? The enormity of the transgression of Israel is spoken by Peter. He said, "You asked for a murderer to be given unto you, and you crucified the Prince of Life, the author of life." And yet, I read to you in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that this was the very purpose for which Jesus Christ came into the world. And the same truth is told us again in Hebrews chapter 2 when it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is the devil, "and might free them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Now, you do not realize it, but twice it speaks of Christ as rendering something inoperative. That's what the word abolish means. Here is something that works, but Christ deals with it in such a way that it no longer works. He renders it inoperative. He abolishes it. And that's what he does to Satan in Hebrews chapter 2. And that is what he does to death in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, the remarkable thing is this, that in the wisdom of God and in the folly of man, such a thing could never be comprehended. How could anyone abolish death by dying? David did not overcome Goliath by dying, but by putting Goliath to death. But the Lord Jesus Christ overcame death and him who had the power of death by dying himself. And it says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And God says, that is the way that I want it. But for us who are saved, it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so what God has done is to ridicule the world and laugh at the world and mock the world in this way. He points to his son on the cross of Calvary, helpless, dying. And he says, look to him and live. Who would ever think of such a thing? Had he shown me his son alive, stilling the sea? But he says, look unto me and live. Isaiah 45, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so God shows you, first of all, a crucified Savior, a dying Savior, one who became dead, and that's what it says. He said, I am the living one, and I became dead. And then he adds this, I am alive forevermore. So this morning, we're to talk about life and death, the life and death of Jesus Christ, and we're to talk about your life and death as well. Because, barring our Savior's coming, one thing is certain, you are going to die. God never intended it that way. He told man in the garden, abstain from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Live. But man chose death. God never made man to die. He made man to live, to walk in unbroken fellowship with him. But he made his son, a body hast thou prepared for me. He made his son to die and not to live. How could such a thing be, that a creature that had a beginning, that was made of the dust, was made to live, and he was with God and was God, who became flesh, was made to die? And this is the contradiction that we have in the Word of God. But what is so thrilling to the heart is to see this one who came into the world to save sinners by dying to save sinners. You will find that in the presence of death and in speaking of death, there is composure and there is authority and there is peace until the last, of which we shall speak in God's will later. But I want you to think of the Lord Jesus in the presence of death. You could not be the way the Son was. You could not think the way he did. You could not behave the way he did. In Luke chapter 7, a funeral procession is going to bury the only son of a woman who was a widow. And the Lord Jesus comes upon this funeral by accident, and he puts his hand upon the stretcher, and he looks at that widow woman, and he says, I am moved with compassion. So think, just for a moment. Here is Christ in the presence of death, and there is compassion in his heart. You'll find in Mark chapter 5 that the Lord Jesus is requested by Jairus to come and heal his daughter. Even now she's lying at death's door. And so when the Lord Jesus gets there, she's dead. And the Lord Jesus, in the presence of death, speaks with utmost tenderness. And there is one more scene in which he is in the presence of death. Now, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Lazarus, whom you love, is dead. And this is his strangest behavior. And no one yet has figured out why. The Word of God says what it does about him. You see, death has no strength over him. It had no power over him. It was not his master. He was the master of death. He's the author of life. And I read to you in John 5, as the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given to the Son to give life to whom he will. And so the Lord Jesus goes to the widow of Nain's son. And he says, arise. That's all that he says. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he says it with compassion in his heart. And he speaks to Jairus' daughter with these words that are among the loveliest in the Bible. He takes her by the hand and he says, little lamb, arise. And the little girl sits up and he says, give her something to eat. He calls her a little lamb. You see, you and I would be weeping. We are aware of our helplessness. There is nothing that we can do. Our hearts are broken. And the Lord Jesus' heart is not broken. He has compassion. And also, he has tenderness. But the Lord Jesus is not helpless. Who but he could go to a funeral and send the corpse home? Who but the Lord Jesus could look at a little girl and speak tender words to her and she rise from the dead? But it's different in John chapter 11, and God has told us, just as he's told us so many things about the Lord Jesus, and having read those words and considered those words, we still do not know exactly what is meant by those words. It says Jesus, when he went to this funeral, and both Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Then the Lord Jesus saw her friends that were there. He saw them wailing, the mourners. He saw them carrying on as they did at Oriental funerals. And it said, Jesus was moved with indignation, and he was troubled. I say that because in the Bible, in your King James, it says he groaned in himself. That's good. But this word is only used of a sternness, of a severity, whenever it's used in the Word of God. When the Lord Jesus healed a man, he said sternly to him, tell no one. There is a sternness. There is an indignation. There is a groaning within our Savior's spirit. And I could tell you as many reasons that men give why this happened as there are chapters in a book of the Bible, reason after reason after reason. And since I cannot speak with authority, I simply tell you this, that the Lord Jesus behaved differently in the presence of death when Lazarus was dead. But having seen that he was utmost composure at all other times, and having said not he was troubled, but it said he troubled himself, and he with indignation and sternness in the presence of death, dealt with it in a way that he never had before. Then God is showing us that the Lord Jesus reacts differently in the presence of death, whether a young man, a young child, or a mature man. And in this instance, there was sternness and there was troubling in the heart of the Lord Jesus. But there was no helplessness. The Lord Jesus had already told her before he came to the tomb when Martha was speaking to him. She said, even now I know that whatsoever you ask, God will give you. And the Lord Jesus said simply, he said, your brother is going to live again. And she said, yes, I know that he's going to live again in the resurrection at the last day. And the Lord Jesus said, the last day? He said, I and the resurrection and the life. Isn't that marvelous? In the presence of death, death to him has no terrors in the others, and death to him has no power, but he is the Prince of life. He is the author of life. He is the living one. He is the one to whom the Father is given to have power over death. And so he says to her, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. So this is our Savior in the presence of death. At times, a sternness and an inward feeling that we are not able to comprehend are troubling, and then at another time, a compassion, on another occasion, tenderness, but always in the presence of death, the Lord of death. And he was the Lord of death before he died and after he died. I want you to understand this. No one is like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one ever born of woman was like the Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, he said, I have authority from my Father to lay my life down and to take it again. He said, no one takes my life away from me. He said, I am the one who lays it down when I please, and I am the one who takes it again when I please. And this is what Ecclesiastes says. He says, no man hath power over his spirit to retain his spirit, and no man knows the day of his death. And the Lord Jesus says, I do. He is different from any other man. He is the Lord of life. And this is what he says after his resurrection. It was the same before, except for Luke 12:49. I told you that last week. The Lord Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened? How am I enclosed, constrained, fenced in, until it be accomplished? That even in that straitened condition before his baptism, which I told you was the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus still had this authority and this dealing over death. But in Revelation chapter 1, he has experienced that baptism of death, and he has been raised from the waters of death. And he said, I am alive forevermore. And now this is what he says. He said, I have the keys of death and of hell. Isn't that a wonderful picture? The Lord Jesus who said, I became dead. He said, but now I am alive forevermore. And not only that, but look, I have the keys of death and hell. Do you realize that the power of life and death, your life and death, is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? That when he wants to, he says, it's your day to die. And he opens the door to death. And thank God, as he did in his life on earth. So, after his resurrection from the dead, he can open hell and let you out. That is a remarkable thing. Nobody else that God has ever made a body for could do that thing. But the Lord Jesus did. He's the one that hath the key of David. He's the one that hath the keys of life and death and heaven and hell. He is the one that is the author of life. He is the abolisher of death. And that is what happened to death when he died on the cross. You must ask this question. But death has not been abolished. Death has not been vanquished. But it has. Because the Lord Jesus does with it now precisely what he wants to do. Death no more has any claims on him. The death that he died unto God once for all. But the life that he liveth unto God. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. The Lord Jesus also, having once died, he's through with death. He shall appear the second time apart from sin unto salvation to them that wait for him. That baptism has been accomplished, and now the Lord Jesus Christ is as he was before. Yes, the permanent incarnate man, but now a glorified man, with no more baptisms to experience, no more sin to experience, no more death to experience, but only he, the dispenser of life, to whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. And the Lord Jesus is the only one who ever lived that knew precisely everything concerning his life when he came into the world, and the nature of that life, and his life after he left this world. It speaks in the Bible, in the days of his flesh. And you have to laugh when the Lord Jesus, on that resurrection, said this to his disciples, I told you these things when I was with you. He's with them right then, but he speaks of his past life as when I was with you, the days of his flesh. But now he's alive forevermore, and no longer is he the one with whom his disciples can be so intimate and look at him and wonder and say such things to him as this. When he was in the multitude and that woman with an issue of blood touched his garment, he said, Who touched me? And his disciples said to him, Why, you see the crowd thronging you, and do you ask who touched you? So think of speaking to the Son of God that way. But now they see the Son of God, and they fall at his feet as one dead. And now they see the Lord Jesus in heaven, as Isaiah saw him before he became man. Now he is a glorified man. Then he was God before the incarnation. And the angelic beings are crying, Holy, holy, holy. And now in Revelation chapter 5, we see that they are doing that same thing again. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And it said every created being in heaven fell down and worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the living God. And when he came into the world, he knew precisely why he was in the world. We heard it quoted this morning. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus knew precisely how long he was going to live. Trace it. This is what he says in Matthew 26. He says, You know that after 2 days comes the Passover, and I shall be crucified. And then he said, Tonight all of you shall be stumbled, because it is written of me, Smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. He knew precisely when he was going to die. You do not know when you're going to die. And sad to say, he knew precisely how he was going to die. You trace it, starting in Matthew 16 and 17, and then chapter 20, and little by little, he tells more and more of his death, until finally in chapter 20 of Matthew, he says, I have to go to Jerusalem, I have to be mocked and spat upon, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests shall deliver me into the hands of the Gentiles, and I shall be crucified. And he said, the third day I shall rise again. You do not know when you are going to die, and you do not know how long you're going to lie in the tomb before Jesus Christ with that great voice says, Come forth! But the Lord Jesus knew. He was the one, and you do not realize it, that on the cross, when Jesus was ready to die, when he had borne our sins in his own body upon the tree, then he said, Father, this is the time I lay down my life. He said, It is finished. And then he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. No one took his life from him. His Father accepted his wishes. And the Lord Jesus said, Do you not think that even now I could beseech my Father and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels? But he said, I'm not going to ask my Father that. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross. He experienced the baptism. He drank the cup. But he said, My suffering is to last until this moment. And they said, Now I have borne in my own body the sins upon the tree. And he said, Now, Father, it is finished. Now, Father, I'm committing my spirit into thy hands. And the Lord Jesus said, It's going to be in your hands for 3 days. And after that, Father, I want it back again. And the Father said, Yes. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And Christ was the only one who knew when he was going to die, and where he was going to die, and how he was going to die, and how long he was going to remain dead. And the only one who could say when he chose, Now, Father, I want my life back again. You are helpless in the presence of death. And Jesus Christ was all powerful in the presence of death. And what he says today, he said, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. And he can let you into heaven as he let that thief in the cross into heaven, if you will say, Lord, remember me. This is the day we talk about life and death. the life and death of Christ, and you are life and death. And look to Christ, and he will give you life, and he will use the keys and let you be with his Father, let you be with him in paradise, or let you spend eternity with him. Take this day of life and death, your inevitable death, and the life that can be yours if you call upon his name. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know what sadness there was when your son died. Let us know that when he was to experience death, he said, "Now is my soul troubled." He said, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." Father, let us know that he said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." It was the time when the author of life was to experience death. The time when you were to lay on him the iniquities of us all. But we're so thankful that that time was short. And that now, having suffered those 6 hours upon the cross, he is alive forevermore. And he has thrown open the gates of heaven. And he says, "Whosoever will, let him come." Will you this day make this Easter meaningful, and the gates of heaven been thrown open by him who died that we might live? May all men come and trust him as Savior. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.